Many today are of the opinion that those who call themselves Jehovah's Witnesses are real authorities on the Bible. To many average outsider, they certainly come along and they give the impression of knowing their Bibles and of having an apparent biblical answer to every question shot in their direction. One of their standard adverts inviting people along to their meetings announces, "Know your Bible. It can be an open book to you. Free Bible courses each week." Appearances, however, may in any form of life be deceptive. And this is certainly one instance when they definitely are. Jehovah's Witnesses are not Bible students, in the truest sense of that term, and the Bible is most certainly not an open book to them. For one thing, they do not have enough time, free time, to conduct any detailed personal studying of the Scriptures. A typical week for a Jehovah's Witness will involve and listen to the kind of routine that he has here. He will have to prepare by underlining the answers to the Watchtower study. He will have to prepare by reading the material set for the 4 talks in the ministry school. He will have to prepare the material from our kingdom ministry for the service meeting. He again will have to prepare by underlining the material for the house group study. 10 to 15 minutes daily spent in Bible reading. He must or she must read each day's text and comments that are drawn upon the text from the Watchtower magazine. They must spend time preparing for return calls to interested persons. Now, in addition, the Jehovah's Witness is required to conduct a family study each week, spend 2.5 hours weekly in the door-to-door work, read the 4 32-paged magazines that the Watchtower produces each month, keep up with the latest Watchtower booklets and tracts and books, prepare for and study with outsiders, prepare any talk assignment, and attend all 5 meetings each week. So it's a fairly packed schedule. And that's why I'm saying, with all of this activity that is detailed for them and set out before them, they do not have enough free time to conduct any detailed personal study of the Scriptures. But then again, the organization to which they belong, while it gives the impression that it encourages deep personal Bible study, actually discourages it. With typical craftiness, the Watchtower Bible Society suggests that because you Jehovah's Witnesses are very limited in your free time, we may think of study as hard work, as involving heavy research. But they say in Jehovah's organization, it is not necessary to spend a lot of time and energy in research, for there are brothers in the organization who were assigned to do that very thing, to help you who do not have so much time for this, these preparing the good material in the Watchtower and other publications of the Society. Now, we read that quotation in the Watchtower, 1st of June, 1967, the page 338. So the majority of time that is spent in study by Jehovah's Witnesses, it is based around the Watchtower material. And the Watchtower material will be very careful to present the Bible in the Watchtower way. Official teaching is that without the organization, no one can arrive at a proper understanding of Scripture. Individuals cannot interpret the Bible. Now, to talk a little bit more about this organization, let's take a comment or two on the background of Jehovah's Witnesses. The history of the Jehovah's Witness is so important, and it all revolves around, when you study it out, it all revolves around the organization. People talk about Russell and Rutherford and other leaders. Well, let's just tonight talk about the organization. Another time, we might talk more about Russell and Rutherford, their key characters and founders. The Watchtower Society claims to be the only channel God is using today. So, everybody else is thrown out in that one statement.
Watchtower, 1st of October 1967. The Watchtower Society is the only channel God is using today. It is the only organization, they are saying, blessed by the Holy Spirit. 1st of July 1973, the Watchtower magazine again. They are the only ones to understand the Bible, they say, in the Watchtower, 1st of July 1973, to it alone. God's sacred word, the Bible, is not a sealed book. Then in the Watchtower, 1st of April 1972, they say that the Watchtower Society is God's prophet on earth today. On the 15th of November 1981, they again claim the only organization into which men must flee for salvation is the Watchtower Bible and Tract Society. Now, Jehovah's Witnesses, they give total allegiance to the dictation of an organization. And they allow that organization, this big brother kind of institute, to interpret the scriptures for them. However, and here's where the problem comes in. The organization, the Watchtower Society, is very far removed from the plain teachings of God's holy word. And instead of opening the Bible to the minds of its adherents, it actually puts a seal on God's word, manipulating, misrepresenting, obscuring, and denying its truth. So that is just the way, a little bit of background to the Jehovah's Witnesses. They are depending on an organization, which they think is the one and only. But let's, because our subject is this tonight, talk about basic witnessing to the Jehovah's Witness. When you're speaking to a Jehovah's Witness, don't read too much into their reaction to what you say. They are specifically trained not to act positively to anything you say. If you show them a scripture verse that challenges their belief, if you're able to pull out a photocopy or scanned image of an article in one of their own magazines, the Watchtower, that shakes their faith in their organization, they will not stand there and say, "Wow, that's interesting, that's intriguing, that's mind-boggling, that really shakes me to the core of my faith." They will not acknowledge this. They have been programmed not to. Let me give four recommended ways to witness to Jehovah's Witnesses. One is this. Say, for example, you're totally unprepared when they come to the door, and you only have a very short time to spend. And as you stand there, you just can't remember any of the Bible verses that contradict the Watchtower teachings. You may not even have a Bible that is just close to hand at that moment in time, and a J.W. has come, and he has knocked on your door, and he's standing there in front of you. What can you do? One of the most effective ways of treating that situation is to give them your personal testimony. How you heard the gospel, how you discovered that you were a lost sinner on the way to hell, how you came to repent and exercise faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you rest entirely upon His one finished work, and how that changed your life. Tell this to a Jehovah's Witness. Because you know how far they can go? They can testify how an organization has impacted their life. But they do not have a testimony to how the living God has changed them. Then a second recommended way to witness to a Jehovah's Witness. If you can, get your Bible on this occasion and get them to open their Bible, but again, your time is brief and you've only time for one verse. A lot of people will recommend John chapter 1 verse 1. It's a good one. It's a solid verse. It clearly shows the deity of our Lord Jesus Christ. But let me recommend 1 John chapter 5 verse 1 as a very good choice. 1 John chapter 5 and the verse 1. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ, is born of God. And everyone that loveth him that begat, loveth him also that is begotten of him. Now you take 1 John 5 and verse 1, and you ask that Jehovah's Witness, has he or she been
born of God. Because it says, whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. Ask them, have you been born of God? And those who know their JW doctrine will tell you that only 144,000 out of our organization are truly born of God. And all of those 144,000 places have already been filled. We are not one of the 144,000. They will tell you they're one of the great crowd that's going to live forever upon the earth. Well, then say to them, take another look then at 1 John 5 verse 1, this same verse. What does it say? Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. The Bible's not limiting that to 144,000 believers. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. Therefore, all true Christians are born of God. Now that's enough. The JW, trained to always give you an answer, will say something. But as they walk away, tell them as they go down the path away from your door, call it after them pleasantly, but call it out. Now, read that verse again and pray about it before you go to bed. 1 John chapter 5 and the verse 1. A third recommended way to witness to a JW, you have a little longer time on this occasion, a time for a little bit of discussion. Turn to the passage we read tonight. That's Romans chapter 8, the verses 8 to 17. It's a very powerful passage, and few Jehovah's Witnesses will have noticed the impact of the words in this particular section. Now, I'm not going to come at you with a flood of Bible verses tonight and say, right, you need to memorize this and that and the other, and right down the line, a whole stack of verses. I'm just giving you two. 1 John 5 and 1, already given. And this passage, Romans 8. If you've more time, Romans 8, verses 8 to 17. Now again, when you work through the passage, and you're speaking and highlighting, particularly in verse 9, and ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you, and if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And in verse 14 you will tell them, what does it say? For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Now, you'll go into the passage. You'll not be expecting an admission from them that these are staggering verses, but invite them to read the passage over again and over again and think deeply about it. Don't allow him to flip about from this passage to that passage to another passage, because that's what he does, that's what he likes to do, that's what he's taught to do. Keep him into this one passage. Keep him rooted here. Don't let him get out of it. Then a fourth way that we recommend to witness to JWs, what if you can spend quite a bit of time with a particular Jehovah's Witness? Eventually, JWs will need to face up to all that the Bible says. They will need to hear the whole gospel, and they will need, by faith and in repentance, to receive it. As Christians, we need to defend the faith. But progress with a Jehovah's Witness usually does not begin with Bible discussions. Of course, there are exceptions. Usually to get past the mind control that is upon them, to break down the layers of indoctrination that have been forming upon them over the years when they've been in this organization, to reach them for Jesus Christ, you need to start with what they trust completely. And despite their protest that, oh, we trust the Bible completely, it is the Scripture that we trust implicitly. It is not the Bible that they trust completely. It is the Watchtower's literature. The organization, as we have said at the beginning, has a stranglehold upon their minds. They go to 5 hours of meetings each week. When they are at home, they have family rehearsals of the Watchtower material. They read it themselves at lunch break. They get up in the morning and read a daily text from the Watchtower. The witnesses they fellowship with are trained to discuss the Watchtower teachings, so they are surrounded by, they are immersed in the Watchtower. It's the air they breathe. To penetrate that barrier, you usually need to have a lot of solid evidence that the organization is not what it claims to be. It claims to be God's spokesman, his mouthpiece, his organization, but it is not. And to prove that, the JW usually needs to see a lot of evidence in terms of false prophecies. Prophecies that have failed, that the Watchtower's own literature have talked about and written down and said, this will come to pass, and you show, well, they said that that would happen, but it was a false prophecy because it didn't. You need to be able to show them the doctrinal somersaults, I'm calling it, where the Watchtower has continually changed its teaching on particular subjects. One year, it teaches this. The other year, it teaches the very opposite. Then another year, it's back to the original teaching. Another year, it goes somersault again, and it takes the second position all over again. Now, I'll explain that as we go on, but they have gone through some astounding doctrinal somersaults. And it's good if you know some of them. And then you need to bring to their attention the outright deception by the Watchtower, and there is much of that. So the starting point, this is what we're saying, the starting point with the Jehovah's Witness has to be in the Watchtower materials. And you can get photocopies of Watchtower materials that are reproduced in various books, or you can get their own materials, some cases online, other times on CD. I said it'll be good to have a lot of false prophecies to bring to their attention. Now, there is a range of Jehovah's Witness false prophecies that really tickles me. They centre on the pyramid theory. Charles Taze Russell, their founder, devoted the 10th study in his book, Thy Kingdom Come, to the Great Pyramid of Egypt. He was searching at the time for a new prophecy to set before his followers, something to whet their appetite, something to give them an opportunity to get their teeth into, and this is what he settled upon. Details about the Great Pyramid, the Giza Pyramid in Egypt. And he developed prophecies, believe it or not, he developed prophecies based upon the measurements of that pyramid. And on the basis of the measurements that he took of the pyramid, he said that 1874 AD would be the beginning of the time of trouble, the beginning of the end. But that prophecy failed. So what did Russell do, having gone out on a limb on this Giza pyramid? What did he do in later editions of the same book? Well, he did the obvious thing. He simply changed the measurements. The original, 3,416 inches, that got him into the year 1874, mysteriously became 3,457 inches, and that moved the date, very conveniently, from 1874 to 1914. And all of a sudden, the new announcement is made, 1914 will be the beginning of the time of trouble. And when that prophecy as well hit the rocks and didn't come to pass, the second president of the Watchtower Tract and Bible Society, Rutherford, Judge Rutherford, they called him, began to tear this theory about the Giza Pyramid and its followers to pieces. He said in the Watchtower, 15th of November 1928, if the pyramid is not mentioned in the Bible, then following its teachings is being led by vain philosophy and false science and not following after Christ. Then Satan put his knowledge in dead stone, which may be called Satan's Bible and not God's stone witness. So that was quite a statement. And again Rutherford said in Light 2, Volume 2, 1913, let no one today add to his prophecy by saying that a pile of stone in the land of Egypt constitutes God's witness. And so while the first leader of the JWs, Russell, had said, we can bring prophecies from this pyramid, the second leader who replaced him in the JW presidency, Rutherford, said that following pyramidology is vain and false and not following after Christ. Indeed, he says, the pyramid is Satan's lie. It is, as he calls it, Satan's Bible. It's following vain philosophy, false science, reading Satan's Bible. Well, how did he bring these two opposing views together? Modern Watchtower material tries to hide this fact.
from their followers by misquoting their own literature to present Russell and his early study group who were into the Giza pyramids. They present them now in a favourable light. Another cracker is the prophecy that they predicted Old Testament men would return to earth in 1925. According to the Watchtower publications, the year 1925 was announced as the time when Old Testament saints like Abraham and Isaac and Jacob would again come on the scene. They said, we may expect 1925 to witness the return of these faithful men of Israel from the condition of death being resurrected. 1925 will mark the return of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and the faithful prophets of old. Their second president, Rutherford, in his book Billions Now Living Will Never Die, published in 1920, claimed this. Now, they were definite about this date. In fact, they were sure, here's a date that is going to hold fast. There will be no slip-up, the Watchtower said, October the 15th, 1917. Abraham should enter upon the actual possession of his promised inheritance in the year 1925 A.D. Then again, in the Watchtower, April the 1st. That's a good date. That's a pretty suitable date for it. April the 1st, 1923, he's saying. 1925 is definitely settled in the scriptures. Then again, the Watchtower, July the 15th, 1924, the year 1925, is a date definitely and clearly marked in the scriptures, even more clearly than that of 1914. They went further. And on the 17th of July, 1922, the Watchtower clearly stated then that, how do we know this? This chronology is not of man, but of God. So they're saying, God has told us, 1925, open your eyes, people on the earth at this time, and you'll see Abraham arriving again. Well, if God said it, it should easily pass the test of a true prophet. Laid out in Deuteronomy 18, 21 and 22, which says, and if thou say in thine heart, how shall we know the word which the Lord hath not spoken? When a prophet speaketh in the name of the Lord, if the thing follow not, nor come to pass, that is the thing which the Lord hath not spoken. But the prophet hath spoken it presumptuously, thou shalt not be afraid of him. There was no uncertainty expressed anywhere in these predictions made by the Watchtower Bible and Tract Society over several years. In fact, the Watchtower built a mansion at Beth Sarim in California and gave the following explanation why they purchased the property and built the estate. The purpose of acquiring that property and building the house was that there might be some tangible proof that there are those on earth today who believe that faithful men of old will soon be resurrected by the Lord, be back on earth, and take charge of the visible affairs of earth. That's in their Salvation Book, 1939, page 311. So, they believed they would be here. They so believed they would be here, they built a mansion to house Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and all the rest of them. Pretty bold. And yet, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, it's 1925, it's the 31st of December, the last day in which you can come, according to this J.W. prophecy. Where are you? They did not return bodily in 1925. It was yet another false prophecy. Now, to be a true prophet of God, each and every single one of the prophecies made has to come completely true, or else the prophet making it, in this case, the Watchtower Bible and Tract Society, it is a false prophet, therefore it is not of God. But you know, this is only one of many false prophecies that the Watchtower is guilty of. They got it wrong in 1874. They got it wrong in 1914. They got it wrong again in 1925. But that didn't hold the Watchtower Society back from prophesying even more. It has the dubious distinction, by the way, this society, this organization, of not having any of their prophecies fulfilled in over 100 years. They couldn't even get a historical prediction correct. In their book, The Truth Shall Make You Free, 1943 edition, they said, man cannot, by airplane,
or rockets or other means get above the air envelope, which is about our earthly globe.
Well, tell NASA that today, because many rockets have gone through that air envelope, as they rather naively described. Now, admittedly, many other people said the same thing back then, some of them prominent scientists. But remember, we're not talking here about the realm of science. We're not dealing in this issue. It has been made clear here that not only by the Watchtower publications, but by the Watchtower's own leaders, it has been made clear that our information, they are saying, comes directly from God. Therefore, it should be correct. But it so clearly isn't. They then said in 1918, Christianity would be obliterated. The Watchtower Society taught in the Finished Mystery, published 1917, page 513, in the year 1918, Christendom shall go down as a system to oblivion. Well, thank God, true biblical Christianity is still very much about today. So these are some of the false prophecies. What about evidence of their doctrinal somersaults that we have talked about? Jehovah's Witnesses remind me of people that are described in Ephesians 4 and the verse 14. Children, not mature in the faith, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. There are so many blatant, glaring inconsistencies in the Watchtower teaching. Consider some of the inconsistencies, the somersaults, doctrinally, that you can find throughout their history. One of their somersaults concerns the date for Armageddon. Armageddon would end, they tell us, in 1914. They wrote that in The Time Is at Hand, page 101, the 1889 edition. Then, having said it would be 1914, The Time Is at Hand, a further edition, a revised version, page 101 again, the 1915 edition, they said Armageddon will end not in 1914, but in 1915. Today, Jehovah's Witnesses expect they will tell you Armageddon at any minute. So they're not now putting a date on it. They're playing safe. They've got it wrong, so badly wrong, twice already. Armageddon didn't happen in 1914, didn't happen in 1915, hasn't happened yet. There's a very interesting somersault they do on the question of, will the men of Sodom and Gomorrah receive a second opportunity? That has raged as an issue in the JW movement for over a century. Will the men of Sodom be resurrected? Will they have a second opportunity? Now listen to the official and changing answers of the Watchtower to that one question. According to the Watchtower, July 1879, yes, the men of Sodom and Gomorrah will have a resurrection and a second opportunity. But according to the Watchtower, 1st of June 1952, no. According to the Watchtower, August the 1st, 1965, yes. According to the Watchtower, 1st of June 1988, no. Yes, no, yes, no, yes. Now can you imagine, as a grandparent, talking to your grandchildren like that? A simple question? A straightforward question, a black and white issue, and when they ask it one day, you say yes, and the other day you say no, and the next day you say yes, and the other day you say no, to a plain issue. They'll think, hey, granny and granda know nothing. They can't make up their minds. They're doting. And if we look at the Watchtower Society's Live Forever book, the old edition, page 179, they say, yes, they will have a second resurrection, these men of Sodom and Gomorrah there. But according to the new edition of the Watchtower Society's Live Forever book, page 179 again, we are told, no, they will not have this resurrection. Then according to the Watchtower's Insight book, volume 2, page 985, yes, they will have a resurrection, but no, according to the Revelation Climax book, page 273. Now, make sense of that, please. JWs will wriggle out of this by trotting out the excuse, we used to believe in that, but we got some further revelation, and we don't believe in that anymore. The light gets brighter, you know, as the years go by. That's actually a misquotation of Proverbs 4 and the verse 18. But the path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. The JW is trying to say that God slowly reveals his truth to his people. The truth becomes clearer.
the closer we get to the end of the system.
Now, that's actually half a truth. For while knowledge of God and knowledge from God may increase, it did from the Old Testament through to the New Testament times, but while it may increase, it certainly will not contradict what has already been revealed. The light gets brighter and brighter as the time goes by, says the J.W. does indeed. Well, to read their literature is like sitting at traffic lights. On and off, on and off, on and off. Green, red, in quick succession. And it's going that quickly. Should I move or should I not move? They talked about the Great Pyramid. Seems like an ideal location to do a somersault, a really big one. And they do. The Watchtower Society taught that the Great Pyramid of Giza is inspired and God designed. These are their words. In Thy Kingdom Come, 1891, and also in the Watchtower, 1922, the 15th of June. And they taught this for 47 years from the year 1881. But in 1928, the pyramid now becomes Satan's Bible, and its devotees, we are told, have turned away from Jehovah and his word. 15th of November in the Watchtower of 1928. Do another big flip when we come to the title Abaddon or Apollyon. They say in the Studies of the Scriptures, Volume 7, that title Abaddon or Apollyon refers to Satan. But listen to this change. In Then Is Finished the Mystery of God, page 232, another J.W. manual, they don't say there that the title Abaddon, Apollyon, belongs to Satan. They say it refers to, are you listening? Jesus Christ. What a somersault. Quite a massive change. Now the question will be forming in our minds. Why, when all this documented evidence is against them, do J.W. still believe in the teaching of the Watchtower? Why do J.W.s continue to follow men who have attached God's name to a bag of lies and who then keep changing this so-called bright spiritual light almost like traffic lights? One reason why they stay in there is repetition. One article calls Watchtower doctrines light. About 60 times in the one article, you're reading light, 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 light. That's what you're bombarded by as you read their articles. You can understand the effect that has on the mind. Repetition. In the course of a year, Watchtower doctrine is called light, education, accurate knowledge, truth, genuine Christianity, loyal to God's word, and similar things that is said to be all of this several thousand times each year as you read through the Watchtower materials. Christianity is always summed up negatively. It's branded apostate, Babylonish, deceitful, fraudulent, false. Also, thousands of times yearly. Is this programming? Is this brainwashing? We should not need to be told if it's light or if it's darkness. Because the Word of God has given us the authority, Acts chapter 17, the Berean Christians who searched the Scriptures dealing to see if these things were so. Are we listening to the right preaching? Let's check it by going into the Word. And that is still the standard today. But by repetition, they keep a hold on their adherence. Also, resistance is a technique used by them. Jehovah's Witnesses have to shun everyone who criticizes them or their publications. In the Watchtower, 1st of May, 1957, page 284, do not criticize the organization. In the Watchtower, 15th of March, 1986, page 16, any questioning of the organization reveals a satanic influence. The Watchtower, 1st of February, 1952, page 18, we should meekly go along with the organization. Qualified to be Minister's Book, 1955, page 156. We should believe all things the Watchtower says. The Watchtower, 15th of January, 1983, pages 22 to 27. Avoid independent thinking. So in other words, come to our meetings, of course, but make sure you leave your brain, your own opinions at the door.
1st of June, 1967, page 338 in the Watchtower. Heavy Bible research is not needed, only Watchtower publications.
1st of May, 1984, the Watchtower again, page 31.
Stay away from literature that deceives.
See how they're ring-fencing themselves? Jesus once warned in Matthew 6, verse 23, But if thine eye be evil, the whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness,
how great is that darkness?
Now let me talk, pretty much in closing, about the way to present your witness. In the light of the fact that the JW has this programming going on all the time around them, that this brainwashing is taking place, you need to present this information that you have in the correct way, otherwise the JW will turn on his heel, walk away, and never return. Some guidelines then. Do not come across as an opposer. Pretty natural for us to do it, but do not come across as an opposer. The JWs have everybody classified. If you were once a JW, you're now ex-JW, you're an apostate. That's the next thing to Satan. If you're a Christian who knows how to speak effectively to a JW, then they pick that up, that you're trying to get them out of the Watchtower, and they will call you an opposer, and you're next on the wanted list, just underneath the apostates. New students are warned against opposers. Anyone coming and saying to them, you should get out of that. That's a cult. That's a false organization. Will immediately get a label, opposer. And in some senses, by coming with this approach, you're playing right into the Watchtower's hands. They have anticipated this form of attack on their system, and they have covered their backs on this one. The Watchtower have predicted, now this is what is going to happen. When you go out there and knock on doors, this is what is going to happen. People are going to say, oh, it's a cult, it's a false organization. You need to get out of that. As soon as you hear that, they're told, and you're just the fulfillment of their prediction when you start going down this line, they will say, here's that opposer we were warned about. We won't listen to him. We won't listen to her. The witnesses, they say, are the true prophets. You were the opposer. You're the one sent by the devil. Discussion terminated. But there are strategies to get around this. And we are to be as wise as serpents, harmless as doves, even in the realm of presenting the gospel. Strategies that mean that you will not be automatically viewed as an opposer, and that will mean the witness will not be so quick to terminate the discussion. Don't tell the JW, initially, that you want to get him or her out of that organization. Avoid negative comments. Don't slam the door in their face. Slamming the door in their face, or if you have one, setting the dog loose on them, does nothing other than to confirm in the JW's mind he or she is in the truth. And the people of God suffer persecution in the world. And look, it's just happened. We are right. Anyway, 1 Peter 3 verse 15 outlines our obligation to give an effective answer to all comers, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. And be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Maybe I'm not saying it right, but slamming the door or seizing the dog is hardly an expression of meekness. And the only fear around then is not really reverential, but cold terror. As a JW leaves the back of his trousers behind him on your barbed wire fence or in your dog's mouth. The answer you give may not be a theological discourse. Probably better not. But let it be a clear word of testimony. Jesus, Jehovah Jesus, has saved me. And let me tell you how. Then as well as not slamming the door in their face, not coming across as an opposer, two further things. Instead of arguing against the JW, ask questions. That is a key principle in witnessing to them. Instead of arguing against them, because you can argue all day, ask questions. Why ask questions? This takes advantage of the JW's programming.
as they are programmed to run away from someone who was trying to wrench them free from the watchtower. Oh, they're the opposers. So they are also programmed to believe that they are the only ones who can really help you and answer your questions. Nobody but them can do this. If you ask J.W., please help me with my questions, he is naturally going to stay around and do just that. If your introduction line is, look, here's what's wrong with the watchtower, then he's away. You could tell them that you have taken some interest in the JWs. You've done a little research on the topic. You've been studying out a few things. Could you help me with a few questions I have? And that will trigger the programmed response. Use questions to unlock their minds and to get your message across. And that's why, back a number of years ago when I wrote this particular book, we put it in this very format. 60 questions every Jehovah's Witness should be asked. Don't begin in for the arguments. Fire out the questions. Then a final pointer in speaking to them. Don't indulge in Bible table tennis. Or the Americans would probably put it ping pong. Don't indulge in Bible table tennis. You can spend all the time you want. And I've done it. 3 hours in Lisburn at one standing. In Londonderry as well. 3 hours. What do we do? We bounce Bible verses off each other. For everyone you quote, they will quote another in response. Now, the one they quote may not be relevant. In fact, most likely will not be relevant. But they will quote it anyway. And it's ultimately frustrating, even if you score far more points than the witnesses score. And you can end up 21-0 in your table tennis match, with your Bible verses going across the net, one to the other. But while you can rub them in this, they only see in the Bible what the watchtower has told them to see in it, even if that meaning is opposite to the plain meaning of the text. The problem is, in this Bible table tennis match, you have not struck at the heart of the watchtower organization. All the JW doctrines depend on the belief that the watchtower is God's channel of communication to mankind. It's His broadcast. He's speaking through the watchtower. And as long as you're hitting all the different doctrines, they'll just bob around you. You'll be swinging at the leaves on the tree and just hitting this leaf and hitting that leaf and hitting another outermost leaf, but you'll be missing the trunk. Demonstrate the fact that the Bible teaches the Trinity, the deity of Christ, the bodily resurrection of Christ, etc. This is needful, but the JWs will come up with alternative scriptures to the ones you quote. They will ignore you because they believe you must be wrong, because you are in disagreement with God's spokesman, the watchtower. Until you deal with the organization and show that it is not God's mouthpiece, you'll be frustrated. What about the false prophecies that have come out of your organization? Didn't you say the world would end in 1874 and then again in 1914? And didn't you say that Abraham would come back upon the earth and he'd be in California? You built a mansion for him in 1925. It didn't happen. Your organization spewed all this out and it's wrong. What about your doctrine and somersaults? One year the men of Sodom are going to be raised again and have a second opportunity. The next year they're not going to be raised again and have a second opportunity. Then somebody else in your organization says, yes they are, no they're not, yes they are, no they're not. You're all over the place. You're not all reading from the same hymn sheet. Show that God's spokesman, as they view it, the organization, the Watchtower Society, is in grave error. And after you demolish the organization, hit the trunk, knock the tree down, then you will have to go to the scriptures in a detailed fashion, because the Jehovah's Witness, like every other sinner, needs to learn. The gospel message needs to learn. True Bible theology needs to learn. His need to repent and embrace Jesus Christ as his only Savior and Lord needs to learn. The errors he has been drinking in from the watchtower over the years that have been holding him back from Jesus Christ. At the very back of the book,
we have a section which summarizes how to use the book effectively. You'll never be able to remember 60 questions. Impossible. But we pick out 8 major ones on Bible subjects and talk about doctrinal somersaults and these false prophecies. Let's apply the axe to the trunk and to the root of the tree and see the organization topple over in their consciousness, in their minds, in their belief system, and then reveal, hold on, all is not lost with this organization going down. The true Jehovah Jesus is out there ready to embrace that sinner who has been stirred up by griefs to seek him. I'm delighted to be able to say that probably about a year ago now, I had an unexpected phone call from a woman in Lisburn. That's the city that I come from. I'd never known her in my life, and she introduced herself as a former Jehovah's Witness. She said, you know, I thought I'd better tell you. You, I know, would be delighted to hear it. We've had, over the past number of months now, about 10 Jehovah's Witnesses who have left the local Kingdom Hall in Lisburn. And they're all studying your book. And that really encouraged me. And some of the issues brought up by the book were the issues they were grappling with and gave them confidence that they were doing the right thing. And I trust also brought them into the full assurance of faith in Christ Jesus. The JW can be saved. Let's be wise as we deal with them. Adopt the right techniques and see God bless our efforts to the salvation of those who were lost.